The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
On a night much like tonight, I suppose, dark, cold, and lit up the heavens, singing glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. This has to be one of the most well-known Bible verses during the Christmas season. Believers, unbelievers, everyone knows this. It's on all the cards, it's in the malls, it's on the shop windows, especially peace on earth. People long for peace and harmony, and it's especially at this time of year that we expect sort of a peaceful, loving attitude. After all, isn't that why Jesus came? Didn't he come to bring us peace? That's what they sang, peace on earth. And it's easy to sort of generalize this and talk about peace on earth, and people understand that in different ways. But let's be clear tonight. Let's not wrap this up in some sort of sentimental, fuzzy, warm wrapper. What is it that the angels meant when they sang this? What did Luke understand when he penned these words? What does the New Testament teach about peace on earth? What is this peace? What is the peace that Jesus was born to bring? First of all, when we unwrap peace from the sort of sentimental baggage that gets wrapped around it, especially at this time of year, it may make you a little uncomfortable. But then, as those of you who know me have heard me say many times, it's not my job to make you comfortable. That's not my ambition either. Sometimes the Word of God makes us uncomfortable in order to bring us to the truth and give us clarity. So when you want clarity, and we want clarity tonight on what the angels meant by peace on earth, first of all, I think it's helpful to look at what the Bible doesn't mean by that, what Jesus doesn't mean about peace. What is Luke telling us about this peace that Jesus was born to bring? What does he say it is not? And the first thing, this peace that Jesus was born to bring is not simply a political peace, world peace. You know, there's that sentiment that you ask people what they wish for at Christmas, world peace. And that's a great ambition, that's a fine sentiment. But that's not what this is talking about. You can have a lot of debate about this. There are people who maintain that Christianity has actually made the place a safer, more peaceful place to live, a more humane place. But there are those on the other side of the coin who argue just as adamantly that no, that's not true. Look at the wars that have been waged in the name of Christ. Christianity hasn't brought peace. It actually encourages violence. But one thing everyone will agree on, conflict and wars and genocide haven't left the scene since Jesus came, have they? In fact, in the 20th century alone, some would say this has been the bloodiest, the most violent century for 2,000 years. And if this is what Luke means, if this is what the angels meant, if this is what the New Testament teaches, that Jesus Christ was born to rid the world of wars and conflict, then we have to conclude it didn't really work. But that's not what Luke is saying. That's not what the Bible's saying. If you go to chapter 21 of Luke, where the disciples ask Jesus what the sign of the end will be, Jesus tells them this: "And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." And then he tells them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And this is what Jesus is saying. You should never expect conflicts to disappear. In fact, it's going to get worse closer to the end. He's clearly saying that we should not expect political peace to be the result of his birth. It doesn't mean, however, that Christians shouldn't work for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says. Our lives should be bent toward peace. And when Jesus comes again, there will be political peace, real political peace. But the peace sung about by the angels here is not, first of all, this political peace. It's also not simply a psychological or internal peace. A lot of people understand that as long as sinful men rule, there will be wars. Nations will rise against nation. And so they point to this declaration of peace and say that Jesus came to bring a kind of spiritual peace. And what they mean is that Jesus came to give us an inner peace, a sense of well-being, an internal peace in the midst of a storm, so to speak. But again, Luke tells us differently. And I don't know why we don't read Luke 12 every year. But in Luke 12, Jesus says about his coming, "Do you think that I came to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided father and son, father against father, son and son against father, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." That doesn't sound like the kind of peace we expect. He's not talking about nations here. He's talking about relationships. And what Jesus is telling them is, when I come into your life, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be disturbance in your relationships, not peace. Three against two, two against three, father, son, mother, daughter, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. My coming is not to bring peace here. There will be conflict. There will be disturbance. You see, Jesus is saying, when you follow me, there'll be trouble. There'll be some conflict. You'll have to say things that make people upset. You'll have to live in ways that may cause division in your family. People you used to get along with will no longer be your friends. But doesn't the Bible talk about an internal peace? Doesn't the Apostle Paul tell us that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Yes, the Bible does talk about that kind of internal peace. But it's a relative peace, because along with that certain inner peace that the presence of Christ brings, there will be outer conflict and disturbances. And Jesus is saying that when he comes into your life, expect not internal peace, but external trouble. So that's not the peace on earth that the Bible's talking about. But the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So what is that? Well, let's stay with Luke and see what the gospel says this peace and goodwill is. The first clue I like to look at is in chapter 1, where Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, prophesies over his son, and he says this, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." There it is. Do you hear it? The knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the way of peace. there are also clues in the announcement itself. Look at what the angels sang. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Now, that's how most of us have learned it, thanks to that great old King James Version, which is a great version, but the translators simply got it wrong here. In the ESV, Tammy read that tonight, it actually gets it exactly right. And listen to what it says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Instead of being translated as a kind of general benediction of peace and goodwill toward all men, the grammar here actually makes it clear that it is peace among those with whom God is pleased. Or peace on those toward whom he has goodwill. And what this is saying is that once there was ill will and no peace, and now for some there is peace and goodwill. So what Luke's talking about, what the angels are singing about, is not world peace or political peace, but an inner peace. He's talking about peace with God, which is our deepest need. We didn't sing it tonight, but one great Christian hymn puts this truth so very clearly. You've sung it many, many times. Have you listened to it? Hark, the herald angels sing. Charles Wesley took this angelic announcement and he just fleshed it out in his hymn. Here it is in the first stanza. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. There it is. Peace. God and sinners reconciled. It's God and sinners, once at war, now reconciled. It's an absolute objective peace that you need to receive here on earth. You can't receive it later. Our problem is not that we lack political peace or inner peace. Our problem is that unless we know Christ as our personal Savior, we don't have peace with God. We're enemies of God. We're even hostile to God, estranged from Him. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, puts it this way, "And you were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." That describes us perfectly. And if you don't know Christ tonight, this is your condition. Alienated, hostile to God, evil deeds, no peace. Because you're not reconciled with Him. We won't get world peace, we won't have inner peace until we get real peace. Personal peace between God and us. It's what the angels sang, on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Another way to say that is peace among those on whom God's favor rests. God's favor, God's blessing, God's grace is upon those who are His. They're the only ones with real peace. It's what the birth of Jesus Christ means to us. God became a man. He was born in a manger. He became one of us. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died on a cross so that we might have peace. He gave His life for us so that we would no longer be enemies of God, but friends of God. Paul goes on in Colossians to say, He has now reconciled you in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. You see, Jesus came to bring peace. Not just some sort of personal inner harmony or even global world peace, but divine reconciliation between God and man. Our lack of peace is in direct proportion to our hostility and our estrangement from God. It's our sin, the Bible says, that separates us from God. His word says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And the wages of that sin is not only death, but it's unpeace. But the good news is this, and this is what the angels were singing. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And what a gift He gave 2,000 years ago. And the way to peace with God and the gift of eternal life is to believe in the one who came to bring us peace. As Paul says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, you will be saved. If you don't yet know Christ, if you've never known this reconciling peace between you and the author of creation, I just urge you by the mercies of God to let His tender mercies guide your feet into the way of peace tonight, because that's what Christmas is all about. And you've missed it if you've missed that. We're going to light some candles. We're going to sing one more song. And as we light our candles, they remind us of Jesus, the light of the world, who came into the world to reconcile us to God. I want to urge you by the mercies of God to be reconciled to Him. So if you would stand. My camera did that. You want to light those up? Let me pray before we sing. Our Heavenly Father, gracious Redeemer, thank You for this season of grace. You came and You died for people like us, and we're thankful. We couldn't do anything to make ourselves acceptable in Your sight, and so we won't even try to pretend. May Your word humble us before Your awesome majesty. Renew our hearts to give us, so that we might give You glory as we ought. Let our hearts be stunned once again by the wonder of Your love and moved to grateful, joyous worship of Christ our Redeemer. Let this message of Christmas bring real peace and hopes to our hearts that have been ravaged by sin and despair, and give beauty for ashes and gladness for mourning, that You might be glorified in the precious and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. You can visit us online at www.summit-christian.org or contact us at 253-531-1672.